The Capital City Film Festival starts tomorrow, Thursday, and runs through the weekend at a number of locations around Lansing. Current State's Melissa Benmark has more on one of the films at the festival, and she joins us now.
Hey, Emmanuel. On Saturday, a film about race relations in America will air at LCC's Dart Auditorium, and it's called Mobile in Black and White. I spoke with the creator, Robert Gray, about the film. He's on staff at the University of South Alabama, but his connection to Michigan is that he spent some time in graduate school here at MSU. And he says that, you know, some people will make short films to promote a bigger film. Well, this actually started out as four shorter segments broken up by discussions, but he decided to make a feature-length film too, hoping in some ways to maybe bring people back to the shorter segment and discussion approach.
When you do it in a one-off situation like that, after a few days, you kind of get changed back into who you were before you started. But with the segment conversation version, I think if people come and watch it and talk about it and sort of, as Sonia Sanchez says in the film, develop new eyes, then you come back the next week after using those new eyes for a week, and you think some more, and you learn some more, and you talk some more, and then you come back the next week, then people actually start to transform their consciousness and see the world differently. And if enough people can start seeing the world differently, then they can start sharing those experiences and starting holding policymakers and just the people around them more accountable for the things that, you know, are going on. Because I think in a lot of ways what race relations has become in this supposedly post-racial world, it's an awareness issue. It's not a reality issue, because it's not individuals going around oppressing people or being mean to people or calling people names. It's something that's sort of built into the structural processes of our culture, and most people, especially those in the dominant group, are totally oblivious to how those processes are affecting people's lives, because it's not affecting their lives. And so I think if we can get more people in the dominant culture particularly, but throughout the society, to be more aware and to be more thoughtful about the issue, then I think change can happen. And, you know, I don't know how big of a dent one film project can do, but I mean, just the testimonials I've gotten from people here in Mobile who have seen it, and from the festivals we've already been to, it seems to be doing something.
It's interesting, because sometimes people will make a short film or a trailer in order to bring attention to the longer film, but I get the impression hearing you talk that really, if you had your druthers, that the feature-length film would draw attention to the segments, the 40-minute segments, and that people would maybe experience this in the original form that you intended.
I think so, yeah. I'm becoming more and more convinced that the best entree into the project is through the feature, because that's the one that's easiest to stumble upon, especially outside of Mobile, and we don't have any budget to promote this thing, and so it's not like we can blitzkrieg the country with publicity. But, you know, if people in Lansing come to see the feature film, and that the one of the last things in the film is a slide of text that comes up that says, you know, the purpose of this is to start conversations, and if you'd like to start a conversation, go to the website and get more information, and, you know, hopefully people will do that, you know, that they'll want to get the segments. I've had people out of nowhere, like in Vermont, email me a couple, like last week, and wanted access to the segments because they wanted to start a conversation in their community, and I don't know how they heard about it, but you know, that's the kind of thing that I think the feature can do, because starting a conversation takes some effort and it takes, you know, some organization, and so somebody has to sort of been sold on that concept before they can start the conversation.
I was reading on your website some of the materials related to the conversation, and that, you know, that you'd like people to engage in as a result of this film. And I was struck by, is in one of the segments it says, consensus is not the goal. And so many of us see consensus as, well, of course we all want to be on the same page. Talk about why did you say that? Why do you believe that?
You know, I don't think that consensus is a realistic expectation, and because people come from such different places and have such different perspectives on issues. And usually if you reach consensus, that means that somebody is converted or moved, sometimes unwantingly, to a position that's foreign to them. And what's, I think, more important is to get people to respect the differences of opinion and understand why those differences exist. You know, the way I'm going to look at this issue, no matter how open-minded I become or how wise or educated I become about the issue, there's no way that I can really understand what it's like to see the world through the eyes of a 17-year-old poor African-American male or female or a person of any age. And so for me to expect them to think like I do and to understand the world like I do from my middle-class white male perspective, that's just unrealistic. And so, but when I can learn from them how they see the world as much as I'm capable of doing and respect them and think that their view is valid, then that's not consensus, but I think it's in some ways better than consensus. And hopefully they can kind of see my way and sort of understand why I think the way that I do, and we can avoid sort of placing value judgments on what we perceive as wrong about somebody else's perspective, when it's just their perspective is based on a different set of data and that their interpretation is just as valid as ours is.
Different things motivate people to start the conversation about racism. You know, anger, shame. The thing is that this is not usually a conversation that we have when we feel like everything is all right. What motivated you personally to make a film meant to open that conversation up, which is a lot of the time a hard conversation?
Well, I grew up in Alabama, in a small town in central Alabama, and I had my concept of what racism was and thought that was a bad thing, but I didn't really understand the whole problem because I was so part of that milieu. A lot of it was invisible to me. And then I went to the University of Alabama and got my bachelor's and master's degree, and then I went to Michigan State and was working on a doctoral degree. And moving from the Deep South to the Midwest was a pretty interesting experience for me because race relations were different on the surface, but they weren't really that different underneath. And it sort of let me gain a critical perspective of both sides. I could see the Midwest situation with a critical lens that really wasn't available to people in the Midwest. And also by situating myself in that and sort of becoming a part of that culture, I could look back at the one I came from and kind of see it through a different lens as well. And just some of the things I studied up there, Peggy McIntosh is in the film, and reading her article that made her famous about white privilege really kind of opened my eyes in profound ways. And it just made me much more interested in issues of race and racism. And so I started incorporating that into my studies and into my teaching. And then I moved back to Alabama and tried to make that one of my... It was always more about trying to build awareness. You know, I think it's totally unfruitful to go around accusing somebody of being a racist. And I think it's really important when you talk about race to very carefully avoid making people feel like you're implying that they're a racist or that you think they should be guilty or anything like that, because not that many of us today are openly guilty about the situation. You know, there aren't that many people that identify as racist, and even the ones that most people would identify, you know, or that most other people would say that person's a racist, that person would deny it. And I think they would honestly deny it. I think very few people think of themselves as racist, whether they are or not. I think everybody, to some extent, is a racist. But it's not something that we need to go around pointing fingers about because it's not fruitful. We need to just start thinking about how the situation is different than we think it is and how it's the institutional and structural levels of racism that really affect people's lives. And most of us aren't aware of that. And if we can become aware of that, And once we're aware of that, if we choose not to do anything about it, then maybe there's a racism there, but I don't really want to go there.
There are people who feel that talking about racism just makes it worse. I don't know how many times in the last couple years in the media there's, oh, so-and-so's playing the race card. How do you respond to that?
Usually when you hear somebody say talking about race makes it worse, that's usually coming from a white perspective. And one of the best retorts that I've heard is, it makes it worse for you. It doesn't make it worse for people of color. Most people think it's not a problem. And when you talk about it, it becomes a problem. And the reality is that it's not a problem for most white people, because they're not at the lower end of that dynamic. You know, one of the big things about white privilege is that I, as a middle-class white person, can go through my entire life without ever thinking about race, and it won't affect my life whatsoever. People of color don't have that privilege. They have to think about it almost every minute of every day of their life. And so when race is inserted into my consciousness as a white person, then that seems that it makes it worse, because it makes me angry that I have to think about this. And it makes my friends angry because they're forced to think about this. It doesn't make it worse for the people that it's already bad for. And so that's one thing. There are people in certain communities, and Mobile, I understand, can sometimes be one of those communities, that people of color aren't always comfortable about talking about race because they fear a backlash can happen to them. When we first started trying to pilot the community conversation process, there was a prominent African-American group in town that a member of the committee that was sort of helping advise on the film really wanted to get them. He was a member of that other group, and he was trying to get them to have a conversation, and there was just a lot of resistance in the group to do it, because they'd fought so long to make the gains they had, and they were afraid that if people heard they were causing trouble and looking into something like that, that there would be a backlash and that they would lose some of those gains. Just the fact that there were enough people felt strongly enough about that they refused to take part in this project, to me, kind of spoke volumes. And I've heard sort of similar stories in other places. It's not, I don't think, limited to Mobile.
That something about that did not make them feel like they were safe to engage in that.
Right, that there would be a backlash about, so you're not happy about the situation. Well, let me show you. In other communities where we've had the film, I've heard similar sentiments. So it is a challenge.
Well, Robert Gray, thank you so much for joining us, and best of luck with your film, and we'll look forward to seeing you at the Capital City Film Festival.
Well, thank you.